I'm Chris from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 100, discussing Agents of SHIELD, Season 3, Episode 9, Closure. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show, Marvel's Agents of SHIELD, Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, and Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because we're not kidding, Marvel's villains are horrible people.
If you'd like to talk to us about horrible people, Grant Ward, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com, where you'll find all of our contact information, including our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube by searching for Legends of SHIELD. And we have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com. Or if you have a smartphone, you can search the Tapatalk app for Gunna Geek.
This time on Legends of SHIELD, we're going to be giving away our Marvel's Villains crate. We're going to be talking about a holiday charity, CCL for Kids. We're going to be talking about Agents of SHIELD Closure. We're also going to be talking about our general impressions of the Marvel's Netflix series, Jessica Jones. We're going to be talking about your weekly Marvel news and your feedback. First of all, it is the holiday season. It is after Thanksgiving. The real Thanksgiving, mind you. The American Thanksgiving, not the fake Canadian Thanksgiving. And we are entered into the charity portion of the year. I just want to point out that Gunna Geek has kind of aligned itself with Comic Collector Live. There is a charity that Steve Boyd, who was a co-host on Walking the Walking Dead on the Gunna Geek Network, and he is part of Comic Collector Live, and he put together this charity called CCL for Kids, and that gives toys and necessities to the Vanderbilt area Children's Hospital. So he has got a goal of $3,000. He's got a PayPal account set up specifically for donations. 100% of your donations goes to the kids or whatever the hospital needs. They have a list. They follow the list. They talk to the hospital. They understand that there's some things you just can't give, like stuffed animals. Believe it or not, because of allergies, because of germs, stuffed animals, you just can't give. But there's important things that you can give, and they know what to get. So if you would like to contribute, you can donate to the PayPal account, ccl4kids@comiccollectorlive.com. Please do it as a friends and family pass of money versus a business pass. And once again, that is the letters CCL, the number 4, and kids spelled K-I-D-S, at comiccollectorlive.com. So please, if you are giving, give them $5 or whatever. It will go a long way for those kids down there. All right. Now get to the fun part of the podcast. We have a giveaway that we are getting the Marvel crate that I unboxed like, 3 weeks ago now? We're giving it away.
Right? Okay. I'm really looking forward to seeing the winner on this one because let's face it, I need a supervillain name.
It's inevitable.
And yes. So I want to know, y'all, what is my supervillain name?
We asked our listener what sort of supervillain name that Lauren would have once, and it's not a question of when or if, it's once she turns into a supervillain. She's one lab accident away. I won't even say bad lab accident. She's one lab accident away from being a supervillain. So Haley, what do we got?
There was one obvious winner for this one, and that is Lab Rat. Our listener at Born to Eat Bacon on Twitter told us, yes, she becomes a giant rat puppet. And in my mind, it's like in The Fly. There's like a transporter fusion accident between her and the stuffed rat, and they fuse together and become one. That's what's going to happen.
I can't wait to see it.
It's going
to
be amazing.
And yes, at Born to Eat Bacon, congratulations. Please go ahead and DM me or email me, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com with your address, and I will send it off to you. And if you're out of the country, by the way, I will need your name and phone number and email address to put on the customs form. Sorry, but it's the way I had to do it with our last winner. And the last winner's t-shirt is on the way. I haven't got confirmation that it has arrived, but it is literally going halfway across the planet. So we'll see how long that takes.
Yeah. As the lab rat, yes. I congratulate you.
The lab rat congratulates you. So thank you very much. Our next giveaway will be in January when we pop out our next great giveaway. We got a couple of things we got in the works to give away, so we'll see when we get there. But enjoy your holidays. We won't be doing any giveaways until January, so congratulations to all of our winners in 2015. We really appreciate your contributions to the contest, making us laugh, and having fun along with us. All right. Now for the main event, or one of the main events, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Closure. This was an awesome episode. I was literally jumping up and down on my couch, and that's after jumping up and down on my couch for the previous hour during Flash. But if you want to hear about that, go listen to Crimson Comet and Starling Tribune this week. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Closure was directed by Kate Woods. Are you ladies familiar with Kate's work?
Okay, looking at her IMDb page, it's really good. First of all, she directed an episode of Farscape that I like.
Yeah.
She's directed a bunch of episodes of Bones, Person of Interest, Castle, Rizzoli and Isles. And apparently, she gave Cate Blanchett and Hugh Jackman their first screen roles.
Yay!
So, good on her.
Absolutely. Definitely had the tension going both with action and romance in this episode. So, that was awesome to see. And by the way, it was written by Brent Fletcher. Haley, are you familiar with Mr. Brent?
Oh, he's got a bunch of Spartacus.
Yes.
Futurama, Angel. Yeah, yeah. I know this guy.
And also co-executive producer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Who isn't at this point?
Well, we're not. Why are we not? We so should be. Marvel.
He wrote some really good episodes of Spartacus, too.
Yeah.
Like, really good episodes.
Angel, Futurama, lots of great stuff in there.
Oh, he wasn't a writer on Futurama. He was some of their crew.
Right.
Assistant to producers.
Oh, now I want to rewatch Spartacus. Okay.
Except for the last episode.
I am rewatching Spartacus. It was cut short by Jessica Jones, and now I'm in the middle of Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime, but I have started, officially, my walk through Spartacus.
Yay!
All right. So, awesome episode. I had a joy watching it. Haley, what was your favorite part that kept you awake?
I really wanted Ward to get hit in the face, and that didn't happen. That would have been my favorite part of the episode.
May didn't get anywhere near him, otherwise she would have.
I was really hoping, you know, she'd say, you know what you need to do, and he's like, yeah, I need to send in the cavalry.
She wasn't even there.
That's not what happened.
Oh, but it's going to happen next episode. I mean, they set it up. Zephyr 1 is on the way. So, there's going to be some rumble.
Excuse me. The bus, too.
Thank you.
The bus, too, is on the way.
The bus, too. Yes, yes.
Electric
the bus.
Boogaloo.
Yeah, Adam in the chat just said, Nail Hydra part 2. Oh, I hope.
I think it's Daisy's turn. Oh, she did shoot him, though. I guess, she had her turn. Whose turn is it?
Matt.
I guess it's got to be Coulson.
No, this time it's got to be Fitz or Simmons. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Adam says Simmons, I say Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah, because Fitz did get to turn off the oxygen on him. In the cage that one time.
Yeah, so now it's definitely Simmons' turn.
Every time you guys talk, I'm like, oh, there's something from this episode. Like, you mentioned Simmons. I was like, the whole thing that he said he wouldn't hurt her, and yet when he was threatened with Thomas, he just went over him.
That's because Ward is a lying liar who lies, okay? He's literally the worst. He's just
worst.
So... Like, I started yelling. Okay, I was watching in the other room, because my husband hasn't caught up yet. So I'm watching in the other room.
How could he not get spoiled?
Well, because apparently I yell incoherently a lot.
How considerate.
So I'm in the other room, I'm yelling, and I can hear him laughing out here in the living room.
My wife yelled down several times, are you okay? Yeah.
That happens.
Like, yeah, it's just this episode is so good. And that was after Flash, too.
Can we talk about the first 5 minutes of the episode?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay, so that was so abrupt that happened that at first I thought it was a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
I didn't think it was real. I thought that the shot and everything and the fact that he was looking at the bullet hole rather than her and everything, I thought it was just going to doodaloo, 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 and he was going to wake up in a sweat and everything. But no, it really happened. Damn it.
I was just starting to like Rosalind. Like, well, okay, I had been liking her before because, yeah, I really liked the whole tete-a-tete thing that they had going. And now that we know she's not evil, just, you know, misled by Hydra. And then they're finally getting to have a nice dinner of wine and burgers, which...
And she opened his ketchup for him.
Yeah, she opened his ketchup for
with
him.
Extra bacon. She mentions bacon. That's like, oh, this is so cool. Bacon.
And of course, to rub it in, they have the like, oh, isn't this where we got our first drink? They have this nice little quiet moment. And then blam, literally blam. Oh, but I got so angry.
It was literally her last meal.
Yeah, it wasn't. She didn't
it
even get
their
to
first meal together.
She didn't even get to take a bite, did she?
I don't think so.
I don't think she actually even got to take a bite. It wasn't even a last meal. She got like a sip of wine.
No, they didn't get their burgers open.
Yeah, she was in the process of opening the burger.
Yeah.
Okay. KJ Sean pointed out she ate a fry, and I think she had a sip of wine. And I'm so angry right now. Just so angry. And then Ward with a stupid phone call and his stupid. Everything. Just, I mean, Marvel TV has some really good villains. Between this and Kilgrave and this is like...
I kept thinking, why is Grant Ward taking this Stargate trip? Why is he?
Because, okay, I was thinking that too, and... At first, I was like, okay, Ward, you're smarter than this. He's manipulating. He's like, oh, I thought you were a leader and all this stuff. I'm like, this is blatant manipulation.
It was.
But the thing is, Ward is just prideful enough to fall for it. That's the thing. Okay, they say, oh, he doesn't kill because he can't feel. He kills because he feels too much. I'm still convinced he's a sociopath, which, you know, one of the traits of sociopathy is that they are very... full of themselves, very confident in their own abilities. They're always convinced that they're the smartest person in the room. And Ward is kind of a classic example of that.
And he was being manipulated all the way around between the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, between his brother, who has it in for him. It's like, if you're going to see him, kill him. Just kill him. And he's fearing for his life because his parents are dead. His other brother is dead. They brought back the well. This episode was crafted so well. Hashtag, it's all connected. This series is connected. The Marvel Universe is connected. This is it's mind-blowing. I'm losing my words here just because it was so good. It was just, mind-blown the entire time. Okay, so the reason I asked that question, by the way, is so Grant Ward goes over to the other side, to the other planet, whatever it is. And my question is, Malik told him to look whatever that creature is, Grim Reaper, we'll call it for lack of a better term, in the eye. Mm-hmm. I think that is going to transfer into Ward. So Ward's going to even become a worse villain.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is, you remember at the very beginning of the season, we first saw them pick a guy, send him through and all that. And they're like, oh, this is a human sacrifice. Yeah, I think this is exactly what he's sacrificing Ward. And I think you're right. I think they are trying to get whatever it is to possess someone. And I think that's what happened to
Will.
Will, yes. I think that whatever it is possessing Will.
That's interesting. Could be.
Yeah. I can see that.
And I think this is all going to go horribly wrong. This is all going to backfire on Hydra. This is all going to blow up in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s face. Things are going to be very bad because we're only halfway through the season.
That's true. And we've got to ramp up to the Civil War, too. So maybe something else happens in S.H.I.E.L.D. universe that really keys not just Sokovia, but something else keys into what's going to happen in Captain America's Civil War.
Do y'all think that it's going to tie into Civil War? Or do you think it's going to be more like it was with Avengers 2, where it was just kind of a thing that was happening while they were busy with their own stuff?
I think there's going to be ancillary stuff that happens that then is brought on the screen somehow. It's going to be more connected than Avengers 2, but not as connected as Captain America Winter Soldier. It's going to be in between, but it's still going to be a tie. It's going to have to be.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
So, all right, so we talked about The Last Meal. We talked about Grant Ward. What a shot, by the way. Of course, it was CGI, but...
Well...
A two-click-away shot or whatever it is? I don't think they said whatever the range was, but...
I'm very bad at judging distances, but that was a very long way away. It was
impressive, unfortunately. It was impressive. And he wasn't supposed to kill Coulson, and he sent guys in to... He's just toying with Coulson. He doesn't
care. Exactly. This is, again, why I think that Grant Ward is a... That they took a textbook sociopath diagnosis and kind of wrote Ward around it. Because, again, he thinks he's smart enough to toy with everybody in S.H.I.E.L.D., particularly Coulson. He's making everything personal because they hurt him. You know, you go and you read... Okay, this is going to sound bad, but I read a lot about serial killers. Not because I'm like, ooh, serial killers, but because this is such an alien mindset to me that why are people so horrible?
Just want to remind our listener, one lab accident away. One.
I don't understand why people are so awful. And it's like trying to hear them explain themselves. And it's like, I don't understand. No. So I'm trying to hear from a scientific perspective and things like that, a psychologist perspective. And they seem to have taken a lot of what the psychologists, the scientists and all that are saying about motivation, about personality traits, things like that, grandiose sense of self-worth, glib surface charm, things like that. And it's written it onto Ward. And I really, really dig that. He's a Ted Bundy. Yeah.
And I think the better understanding that we have of the psychology of these type of people is why we get so much more interesting villains now, because they try to fully develop exactly why they are the way they are in a way that wasn't done even 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. I think that I was about to go into this whole thing about the psychology of villains and how it developed, but just suffice to say that I think Thomas Harris had a lot to do with it and move on. Thomas Harris, author of Silence of the Lambs, blah, blah, blah. I am a nerd.
So the event occurs. Coulson escapes. It's hard to tell if they let him escape or if he's just that good that he escapes. I think it's the latter. That Ward would have killed him if given the chance, but let him get the opportunity to get away, and he escaped. But then his walk back into S.H.I.E.L.D., that was just...
Oh.
All bloody, his shirt's bloody. He can't unbutton his shirt, so he tears it off. It wasn't that he was trying to tear it off, but he's just like, I got to get this off, and the only way to do it...
Right, he doesn't have coordination in that other hand.
No, and then the matchbook comes out.
Something that I noticed with regards to that, if you notice when he's pouring the wine for Rosalind, he uses his right hand, doesn't assist with his left or anything. In that scene, he's very careful to just use that one hand, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, and Starsaber _222 Adam in the chat said his MacGyver grenade probably helped too. Yes, that is Coulson. Yeah. He's able to do that.
But yeah, that whole scene where he walks back in and everyone's just kind of there and they look and they're like, oh, something really bad happened.
Mac's like, all he told me was get the interrogation room ready. So they're like, okay, what's going to happen? And then he interrogates the original team. And he's like, he's brutal with the questions, but it's not malicious towards the individual.
He wants to know.
It's to defeat Ward.
Yes. What it is, it's taking a step back cold, just at a distance like he needs to be to get this angle on Ward. He needs to be as ruthless as possible because Ward is ruthless. And it was chilling and really good.
And May just rolled right into it. She just sat down, started answering questions, and was like, okay, I get where this is going. And a couple of the questions specifically with May at the beginning, and then it rolled into other people as well. It got into their personal relationships and their romantic relationships and their physical romantic relationships. And May is like, no, there was no talking. Nope. Mm-hmm. It was all physical.
And then you find out, remember back in season one when we were like, I think Gemma likes him and stuff like that.
Right.
And, Fitz and him are bros and no. And then you find out why. It's, yes, he was using these people to fill a void in his life. He used his younger brother and moved on. And once his younger brother made himself unavailable, he's like, okay, I will use these people to fill this purpose in my life. Again, like a sociopath. And he's using these people for this specific purpose. Mm-hmm. Very coldly. Very, for him, rationally.
And I would recommend, we're back on Ward again, because it is all Ward-centric, but mm-hmm. it's the whole universe is surrounding around Ward right now. But I would encourage anybody that has questions about Ward or whatever, go back and watch the Well episode and go back and watch SOS Part 1 and 2. And that, with this episode, you understand 95% of what Ward is, what he's capable of doing, and what he has done, including dumping Fitz and Simmons in the ocean. That was horrible.
And what kills me is he continues to use that as, oh, I was really helping you.
To get together.
Again, twisting everything to his narrative.
Ugh.
Lying to himself about why he does things, as his brother put it.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think he's lying to himself. I think that is how he legitimately sees it.
Another interesting aspect about the interrogations, before we leave that completely, by the way, it was a perfect recap of the entire Ward storyline, by the way. Without doing a montage, without doing flashbacks, it was a way to get that story out, a way to go forward into this story and to bring it all together. Marvelous. It was a great way to actually do it. And I applaud the Marvel team, the writer, the director, and everybody involved with the show to actually bring it together that way, because it was done so well. It was done so hard hitting. Your fields were ooh the whole time, and you were sympathetic to the person. And at the same time, your anger towards Ward grew and grew and grew all the way up until the end. And so at the end, Fitz agrees to go do this. And I think he had no intention whatsoever of coming back. And the only reason that he might have started thinking about it is because Simmons said, come back to me. Other than that, he was staying over there with Ward. He was not bringing those people back.
I bet that once he sees Ward gearing up, he's like, okay, I'm going to take this guy out.
True.
See, I think his intention was always to attempt to get Will back. But if the only way he could do that was to let something else back through, he wouldn't.
I can see that.
At the end of this episode, that's what he was thinking, or that's what he was thinking all the time of trying to go over there?
The whole time. Like, I think if he had an opportunity to get Will back without anything else getting through, he would. But if he didn't have that opportunity, he was fine staying there.
I'm wondering how much of, okay, I know he trusts Simmons and he trusts her experiences on that planet, but he isn't giving that same sense of urgency to whatever's on that planet to what she is. And I'm wondering if that's just because he hasn't experienced it, if maybe he's just not, you know, it's like those people who say, oh, I can live through a hurricane, when they've never seen a hurricane.
We're actually talking about that at work. If you wouldn't want to live anywhere, where would you want to go? And somebody said, why not Florida? And then a coworker of mine said, no way, I can't stand hurricanes. Like, well, I mean, hurricanes.
Well, at least you get a couple days warning.
I know. That's what insurance is for. You know, you just evacuate, take what you have in your go bag, and that's it.
But yeah, it's like those people that say, oh, I can stand outside in a hurricane and be fine. I've stood in the wind tunnels before. And you'd never realize it's not the wind that kills you. It's the stuff in the wind.
Yeah, same with the tornadoes in Kansas.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if it's something like that here. Like, he logically knows, oh, there is a dangerous thing there. And he doesn't get it because he hasn't experienced it.
Could be. It's all in the vibrations. It was wonderful how they brought that back. They just have to find the building with the right vibrational frequency, and that's how this all happens. It doesn't have to do with the planetary alignment. So basically, that's it. From the other end, it's set off by the moon alignment, causes some sort of vibration that it happens. That's science for you in Marvel. Okay. So I have a question. Unlike Simmons, Coulson doesn't have his phone. I think he still has Roz's phone, but he doesn't have his phone.
Yeah, because he smashed it.
They went through so many phones this episode with people just being angry. He smashed his, Ward smashed his, just phones everywhere. It's like, people, this costs money.
Ward doesn't have his either. That's important. Yeah. Of course, Ward's phone wasn't Fitzed. It wasn't Cisco'd.
Yeah.
How do you say it in the Marvel Universe? Fitzed?
Fitzed.
Okay.
Fitzed.
He fitzed it.
Love it.
So Ward is interrogating the science babies, and it was
Simmons didn't look too terrible when they brought her out.
I know, right? I was thinking that.
Okay.
Did we see the entirety of her interrogation? Just like those four screams that he heard?
I just happen to have one of these in my desk, by the way.
Okay.
Don't ask what's behind the curtain.
Who's the evil villain now? Okay.
So I'm thinking I can do a lot of stuff with this that's going to hurt big time. I mean, it's going to.
So can hurt. I mean.
And it's going to be visible.
She still has all of her teeth, as far as we know. Her nose is fine.
She's got one scratch on her cheek.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of all the stuff that you could do with
a
that.
A hammer, and I don't have a hammer, so.
It's only a flesh wound.
So a hammer and one of these channel locks. And it's like, okay. Simmons looks pretty good. And she was screaming a lot.
Yeah, and it's not like she limped out or she's like holding her sides or something. No, she's got that scratch on her face. Otherwise, yeah. Her hair was the slightest bit disheveled.
Yeah.
She was able to hop over to Fitz at the end.
I felt bad thinking that, but yeah, she looked really good for having just been supposedly tortured.
But I bring that scene, those scenes up, because any scene with Ward in this episode and a member of his original team, it was just so full of tension. It was so full of dramatic effect. It was everything that you've wanted to build up to this point in time. The only problem is May did not have her one-on-one with Ward. It didn't happen. Neither did Coulson yet. So it's going to happen.
Next week.
Nail Hydra.
Next week. Nail Hydra.
Coulson, being an idiot, jumping out of a plane straight through a portal.
Yeah. Oh, and then hitting his head. That's like super bad for
you. So, okay. I played a little portal.
Did you get knocked unconscious? Oh, that's super bad for you.
I played a little portal.
Yeah, I was out for like
two.
A minute.
And if you reach terminal velocity, which he must have been close to terminal velocity, right? So he's going about 120 miles an hour through this little diameter thing.
Do you think he just went like up in the air?
Exactly. So and that's what happened. He went up in the air and he's got a parachute on and he didn't use it. I'm like, why not parachute back down? He's the cause of knocking himself out because he flew up. It's like a 00 ejection seat. He went up in the air and came down as hard as he could into that mountain. I'm like, just pull the cord, man. Pull the cord.
Yeah, that was amazing. I felt really bad for laughing, but not really, because I mean, that was funny.
Straight out of portal.
Just the mental picture of just everybody comes out of the portal, all fine, then Coulson, whoop.
I wonder if it was like Wile E. Coyote. He kind of hung there for a second.
So I'm trying to remember in the entire 10-year run of Stargate, or actually 14-year run if you count Atlantis, of Stargate, if they ever sped through it that fast. And I don't think they did with a Stargate.
Yes, they did. When Carter and O'Neill went through the other one onto Earth by accident, and they got shot through it, and they both got really hurt, and they're in Antarctica.
Oh, that episode! Yep. Yes. The McUseless episode, okay. Yeah.
Except we got another Stargate.
Yay! Didn't Earth end up with like three total Stargates or something like that?
I don't know, because we kept like accidentally destroying one, and then it was like, oh, we got another one.
So, yes, why are we doing these Stargates references? It's because this was totally Stargate. I mean, Ward was dressed up like O'Neill. It's not possible not to think of it.
I was having flashbacks. It was amazing.
He put his hat on like O'Neill, too.
I know.
Yes! Somebody tweet Brett Dalton and ask if that was deliberate.
That'd be awesome. Chris, I know you're in the chat. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Do it. Do it.
All right.
Do it.
So we had that going on. You had the five stones, the Bones Brigade. So we had a question about the Bones Brigade. Are they referring to Crossbones or what is it? Is that like a known Hydra thing? I'm
unfamiliar.
I don't
remember when they said it or what they said.
That would not surprise me if it's related to Crossbones, considering that he's going to be in Civil War.
Well, the Bones Brigade was in reference to the people that he sent to kill Coulson at the beginning, that Ward did. So that was what the reference was, but I didn't know if it was a Crossbones sort of thing as well.
Okay, I should have specified Marvel when looking that up.
And the trap to get Fitz and Simmons to Project Distant Star, just the fact that Ward mentioned it on the phone to Coulson to get them, that was what it was all about. So Coulson would send them to Project Distant Star. That's why they needed Coulson alive. Okay, we got to transition a little bit to Bobby and Hunter, because there's no heroes today, mate.
Yeah, that...
There's no heroes today, mate, is what he said. Yes. And I was like, oh, it's a superhero show without superheroes.
Because right now, everything is terrible.
No, we've got a team of superheroes.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We got Secret Warriors.
Well, yes. Sort of a team, if you count three people as a team.
It's like three people and then May, like,
and one of them is obviously a red shirt.
Why can you not count Mac in that with his axe shotgun, which we haven't seen yet?
He has the power of axe shotgun, which sounds like a body spray. Now that I say it out loud.
Oh, for those high school and college age boys with BO. All right.
And well, mostly junior high age.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, I don't want to take a shower after gym, so I'm just going to bathe in axe.
So we talked a little bit about it before, but I just want to mention it again. The phone call between Thomas and Grant was some of the most tense dialogue of the episode, in my opinion. It was well crafted, well done, brought it all together. I really enjoyed it.
And you really see a little bit behind Ward's mask of like the whole, why are you doing this? Like, he legitimately doesn't get it. Again, sociopath thing. You go and you read interviews, and when stuff doesn't go their way, there's like a legitimately childlike reaction to it.
Yeah. Siblings, doesn't matter how old you get, same sort of stuff. Okay, I want to bring up one last thing, my last note, and we probably have more to discuss, but my last note is, while they were in the vibration room with the portal, did you see the wall behind, I think it was Fitz a couple of times? It was full of Back to the Future flux capacitor clocks.
I didn't see that. I didn't see amazing. It.
Yeah, so there was another wall full of just red LED lights and stuff like that. There was another wall full of Back to the Future flux capacitor clocks, and it was behind Fitz. So
I am going to have to go back.
If you ever rewatch the episode again, you got to catch the flux capacitor clocks. It was a whole wall full of them. It wasn't just one. It wasn't like three or anything. It was a whole wall full of them.
That's amazing.
It was. So I'm out. Lauren, what do you got?
Okay, really good look at what a terrible person Ward is. I'm really looking forward to seeing Daisy and the Secret Warriors in action. I really want somebody to punch Ward in his stupid face right now. Good job, Brett Dalton. Good job. Oh, science babies. My poor science babies.
No. Tough.
Mac was like, I knew they needed a babysitter.
Yes. Every time I see Mark Dacascos, I just keep thinking of Iron Chef. So he's like, he comes out to torture Simmons and I'm like, I like cuisine.
Yeah.
A thought that I had is, if they're going to keep Ward alive, they could at least keep him shirtless for longer.
Yes.
When's the last time he was shirtless on the show?
Too long ago.
It's been a while.
It's like season one, right? When he was sparring, maybe?
Season two, but he was shot, I think.
Hmm.
Sometime he was bleeding. It was not pleasant.
A daredevil. They daredeviled
it. Yeah. Yeah, basically. It was an oozing wound situation.
The other thing I had was that Distant Star Pathfinder was not NASA.
That's right. It was a private corporation.
Yep. And then I have quotes.
Shoot.
Sky said, I will never forgive him. And I'm like, good. Good girl. It's what Grant's always done. Hurt people and lie to himself about it.
Yes. That was Thomas, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I always thought Fitz would give up the world for you. Looks like now he finally has his chance.
Oh, jerk. I want to say something worse, but jerk.
It's a clean podcast. We can't say our real feelings.
I know.
I can wait until afterwards so that I could say all the four-letter words I want to say.
Yeah, my fault. I did not let you guys clear the verbal air before we went live. So my fault there. Okay. Yeah. Any other quotes, Haley? Anything from the show?
Nope.
Lauren?
That was it.
No.
Was this the penultimate to the mid-season finale, or do we have two?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So
next week is the mid-season finale.
Really looking forward to it. I was really looking forward to this week for like 2 weeks, right? Because we had the whole Flash Arrow thing. We knew this was coming. And I'm like, oh, now I'm so looking forward to next week too.
I just remember that tomorrow is the holiday bake-off with Mary Berry, and I just got really excited.
There you go.
I love Great British Bake Off, y'all.
I remember that tomorrow is the start of my vacation.
Yay!
Hey!
All right. Well, thank you very much. Just a reminder, if you're new viewer to our live blab. We will open up the fourth seat when we are done with the podcast after the credits roll. So if you have something to say, please stay tuned. We will have you on. In the meantime, I have to announce we are forgoing our Marvel comic news segments this week. The podcast Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition has already been released. So go ahead, listen to Lauren and Adam and Neil with their comic book segments there. And instead, what we were going to do is we are going to feature Jessica Jones' initial thoughts. So here we go.
Okay, so has everybody here seen it?
Yes.
I've seen it. I've seen it all. Yep. Love seen it, all? It.
Yes. Okay, so how long did it take y'all to finish it?
I just finished it Sunday, so what, a week and a half, 10 days or so?
Something.
I think I finished it Sunday the week it came out.
I finished it in 2 days.
I did too. I had to work Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
I had a viewing party with at Redfic in the chat on that Friday that it came out. And then on that Saturday, I just watched it the whole day. So
wow.
It was great. Yeah, I just sat there and knit and watched, and it was wonderful.
I watched a couple episodes on, I think I watched two or three on Friday, and then on Saturday when I got off work, I watched all the rest of it.
Okay, so first impressions, everyone. Love it, like it, hate
love it, it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
I'm glad it wasn't intentional, but I'm glad it took me the 10 days to go through it because I needed the time to process it, to get away, to get to play Battlefront, do some fun stuff, that sort of thing.
I can definitely see that. It was a heavy show. I adored it, but I could see why some people wouldn't want to see it given the subject matter. I could see why some people would have to take a lot of time off in between episodes. That said, since I read the comics, I knew what to expect going in. It wasn't as big of a shock to the system as it could have been for me. So y'all's impression of Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones, the character in general?
I enjoyed the characters in the series tremendously, all of them. They were all played very well. Kristen Ritter played a phenomenal Jessica Jones. It was obviously past her origin story. You get to see a little bit throughout the thing, but as she was moving on with her life, she had done her quick stint as a superhero, whatever, so we didn't get to see any of that. I think, did we see the costume? Did her friend?
We saw the costume. Yeah. Trish held it up and it was the Jewel costume. And Jessica was like, no.
Yeah, no, we were past that. So it was great, and the friend was great, and the fights, when they happened, were really slugmatch. They weren't really, I mean, there were fights, but they're not elaborate choreographed. They were just slugmatches.
Right, because she's a brawler.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I remember when I was watching it, I tweeted that something that I loved that they kept from the comics is that she's just unapologetically a sledgehammer. There's no finesse to her. She's just, when it comes to fights, when it comes to her investigation methods, she just goes in and punches and smashes until something gives. And I love that. When it comes to her breaking in, there's no lock picking, there's no delicacy. She just breaks the lock. When it comes to fighting, she just hits you or throws you through a wall or her own office door. Which I loved that. That was like the first scene from the comic.
She spent a lot of money on that logo.
Yeah.
So, did I miss the reference? I mean, I get Claire, but did I miss the reference to Matt? Was there a reference to Matt? Did I miss it?
There was a reference, but he didn't show up, and I thought he was supposed to, and I got really upset.
Yeah, I expected to see him.
That was my one disappointment.
What was the reference?
When she's talking to Claire in her apartment, and well, right. She's like, yeah, I don't know if you've met anyone. Like, she's like, actually, I have this one friend of mine. He's always questioning what he does, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I caught
like,
that.
Like, hey, it's Matt.
But
yeah,
I thought there were some legal things that I have a good lawyer to reference.
Every time they'd be like, blah, 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 lawyer, I'd be like, Matt. And then he never shows. And Nelson and Murdoch is never mentioned. And I was just like, come on,
I was really expecting maybe at the end when she, you know, she's kind of on the outs with Carrie Ann Moss, whose character's name I cannot remember right now.
Jerry Hogarth.
Jerry, yeah. I was expecting him to show up then because she would get somebody else.
Yeah, I was expecting Matt to show up when she goes to the police station because I was like, oh, it's a weird case. They'll take it. And then no.
Didn't we see that one cop that was their friend? Wasn't he at that same precinct?
Oh, I can't remember. I'd have to look.
I don't remember.
That would make sense.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting. And Marcy also, is that her name? Marcy, Foggy's girl?
Yes.
Marcy,
yeah.
I didn't see her. It would have been easy to throw her in there. Maybe as the lawyer for the divorce or something. I could have seen that. Oh, well. So it was great 13 hours of TV. You know, bravo, Marvel. Mm-hmm. You did it again. The story was very complex. It was very riveting. I mean, a lot of people watched it. Did anybody see any ratings or download numbers or whatever this time around?
No, I haven't looked for them yet. And they might wait until they're about a month out to start putting that sort of information out. I think that's what it was for Daredevil.
Okay. So we'll get to it. So, Haley, did you have a favorite episode out of the bunch, or?
Because of the way I watched it, I don't distinctly remember each episode.
Yeah, same problem with Daredevil, the way we did it. Yeah. It was just all one continuous story.
I'm trying to look at IMDb to find which one
I will
liked.
Say that episode 10, I almost quit at episode 10 because it was that bad.
Oh, and then that was an intense one.
The rest of the episodes weren't nearly as bad, even through the conclusion, but episode 10 was just horrible. I'm like, why am I watching this? Marvel, okay. Oh, what are you doing to me?
I don't remember which episode number it is, but the one where it goes back into how Trish and Jessica met and how they kind of bonded as foster sisters mm-hmm. and everything. I think that was my favorite episode. I don't remember which one it was.
I could be mistaken. I think that was 11 when she breaks the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be. It was one of the later ones.
I really liked everything that they did with Trish and Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rare to see a really good female-female friendship on a TV show because usually if you see two women in a TV show or a movie or something, they're bickering, they're at each other's throats, they're fighting over a guy, they're going behind each other's backs and stuff. And with this, it's good to see them just kind of supporting each other. And yeah, they're sometimes at odds, but it's a really good, really believable friendship. I really, really liked that.
Sean in the chat wants to corroborate, I won't say confirm, that it was, he thinks it's episode 11 as well.
Okay.
That we were talking about. Yeah. You know how in Starling City, how the key to running a good business is to be a window repairman? I think the key to having a good business in the Marvel New York universe is to know how to drywall.
It kind of seems that way because lots of people getting thrown through walls.
I mean, like through the wall completely.
Actually, running a bar seems to be a pretty good business in the Marvel universe as well.
That too.
Except for the bars getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Good fire insurance. Yeah.
Maybe insurance salesman is a good
It seems like they're
career.
Paying out a lot on insurance, though.
There was that whole spoof over Act of God not being covered after the incident in New York. So, yeah, New York's been the brunt of a lot of stuff now with Jessica Jones. It's been fun. All right, Haley, do you have any other general impressions on Jessica Jones?
Not general impressions. I think the rest of my thoughts are probably more specific.
To each episode.
Yep. But I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking of doing, and I'll put this announcement over Twitter once we're done recording, is I'll start doing a live tweet on Mondays at 8 p.m. Central. So
9 p.m. Eastern.
The usual time we do S.H.I.E.L.D., just one day removed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could do like a quick little discussion.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start doing a episode by episode discussion each week along with whatever else we're discussing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. So if you have any comments about the specific episode, we'll be starting episode 1 next week. Please get your comments in, your voicemails, 844-THE-BUS-1. You can email me, StargatePioneer@GuineaGeek.com, MP3 file. You know, if you just want to send an email, kind of like what Andy did with Daredevil, that would be fine too. We would love to discuss your take on Daredevil, one episode at a time. So basically for the next 13 episodes,
Jessica Jones,
we'll be doing it. And that'll be interesting.
Jessica Jones, one episode at a time.
Yeah. Jessica Jones. That will be interesting to do that during Agent Carter as well. Another female led.
Yes.
Show. So bravo, Marvel. You're doing a good job on it. You really are. So, and apparently if you listen to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, the comic book world is headed that way as well. And I picked up on Small Business Saturday, by the way, Ms. Marvel number 1 in hard print. And that was awesome as well. And I actually ordered a couple of books because they didn't have one. They called me today. I got to go pick them up tomorrow. Yay.
Nice.
I don't have a comic book shop.
Boo.
You have Comixology then, or Marvel Unlimited or whatever.
Yeah. I think Marvel Unlimited was having a really good deal the past couple of days. I don't know if they still are.
Yeah, they were for Black Friday. I'm not sure if they're having anybody on whatever. Yeah, you know what, Adam? Yes, books you talked about as well. They're all good. Okay. All right, are we done with Jessica Jones' initial impressions for now? I just want to make sure that everything's out on the table, Lauren.
I will talk more in detail about it next week.
All right.
And I look forward to it because I can't believe this finally happened. It was so great. It finally happened.
It did.
I've got one more general thought.
Yeah.
We are going to go through this hiatus and we are going to talk about two female-led superhero shows. We're going to be talking about Agent Carter and we're going to be talking about Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And that is amazing. And there's a lot of comparisons right now to Supergirl. And so much of the cast of this show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is female-led. And it's just awesome. Awesome. And I wish the movies would follow suit. But, you know.
I know. It's like Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman. I guess Wonder Woman's going to be the first, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Marvel had a chance to be out the gate first, and they blew it.
They decided they want to do another Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yep, because nobody has seen a Spider-Man movie. We're going to come up with something completely different.
I still haven't seen the last one that came out.
It's all right.
You're not missing all that much.
All right, we're going to get on to some news. So I actually have the first news story of the week, which is amazing. I actually have a news story and it's number one on the list just because it's alphabetical. That's the only reason. Anyway, I saw a great article on IO9 today that said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the crazy epic that every other show wishes it could be. And if you haven't read this article, you need to. Of course, it contains a ton of spoilers for this specific episode. So I didn't repost it or anything like that on our feeds, but it is a great article, and bravo, IO9. I really enjoy it.
Yes. Remember when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one was out, and everyone was like, why isn't this show good? Why isn't this show doing all this stuff? And now it's out, and everyone's like, oh my God, you've got to watch this show.
They're
it's doing so much stuff.
One of the things that they point out in the article is that it builds. You have to wait for it. So, of course, season one was the like build from nothing, the monster of the week sort of thing. And mm-hmm. then you get to Captain America Winter Soldier and bam, it took off from there, right? And even this season, there were a couple episodes that were building, but we knew what they were building to. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is every episode has just been a crescendo in this.
Yeah. And if you really think about it, this past episode, Closure, is the first of a two-part kind of feeling episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's building up to, I'm pretty sure, what's going to be next week. And a lot of stuff happened this episode.
And
so
next
week's gonna be weird and nuts and awesome.
I feel like we're gonna be screaming at our TVs at the end of next week because we're gonna be off for 2 months and yeah
I have many soft objects that I can throw so as not to damage anything.
Well, fortunately we'll have other things to occupy our minds, so
yes,
we'll just have to hang on to that for now.
Other things such as
Agent Carter, we got a new promo. 15 seconds, guys.
Yeah.
I saw that during the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. It was great.
Yeah. I had it recorded, and every time I would come to that, I would have to stop and rewind a little and watch the promo again. So
here's my thing. Yeah. I actually watched Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. live last night. So I'm not able to fast forward through the commercials. And I thought, oh, this is, it's going to be boring for a couple of minutes. I'm going to sit here and twiddle with my phone or whatever. Well, first of all, I had to calm down every single commercial all night long for 2 hours. And second of all, there were commercials that were phenomenal, talking about Legends of Tomorrow, talking about Agent Carter, talking about previews for movies coming out like Star Wars or Civil War. It's awesome. So yes, Marvel, you're doing a great job. You're banking in on that, the excitement. Well done.
2015 is just closing out in such a good way. I mean, we're getting this and we're getting Star Wars and everything is awesome. I love it.
Now, unfortunately, however, in 2016, we had a minor setback, didn't we?
Yeah, Agent Carter. Remember how we were like, oh, Agent Carter is premiering January 5th. And we're like, yay. Well, it got pushed back to January 12th. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
No, literally.
State of the Union.
It's the State of the Union. Thanks, Obama.
That's the problem when you have a Tuesday night show.
Yeah. Though the preemption wouldn't have impacted Agent Carter's initial January 5th return date, postponing it would allow it to run interrupted for all 10 episodes.
Uninterrupted, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have Jessica Jones to talk about. So, yay, Jessica Jones.
But we have Jessica Jones to talk about. So, okay. We're all good.
All good here. All right. So
we're all fine here now.
Yeah, here now. Thank you. How are you? So the Doctor was on Late Night with Seth Meyers.
I'm sorry. Agent Carter was delayed until January 19th.
Yes. Yeah,
because the State of the Union is on the 12th.
Boo.
So wait, did that push back the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well? Or did they say?
I don't know.
They didn't last.
It just says Agent Carter.
Time around. They just doubled up. They might double up more than what episode? More than
the
premiere.
Yeah, they might just do like a...
We will have to see.
It's going to be important because if they do have some sort of crossover plan with Captain America, they're going to have to write that in the show. And presumably some of that is already in production right now with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, all right, back to the Doctor.
Okay, we didn't discuss this when we talked about Jessica Jones, but did anybody else find David Tennant's performance as Kilgrave to basically be the Doctor, but a jerk?
Evil Doctor.
Yes, evil Doctor. It was basically the mannerisms, the speech, just everything. Just the Doctor, but evil.
Yeah.
And that made it 10 times creepier.
I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was a wonderful portrayal of the character. And I think his Doctor portrayal as Kilgrave was perfect for the role.
No,
it was amazing
really
acting,
worked.
But I do not like hating David Tennant that much.
There's been some really good comics. But the reason we're talking about this is that David Tennant has been making, you know, the late night rounds. He was on Late Night with Seth Meyers. And talked about Kilgrave and talking about his portrayal of the character and stuff. One quote that I really liked from the interview is that, "I don't think anyone who's perceived as a villain believes himself to be a villain. Donald Trump doesn't think he's the villain."
Though he's obviously a comic book villain.
Yeah. My favorite.
Guys.
I know it's talking politics somewhat.
There's a legitimate chance that he could be the next president of the United States.
I'm moving.
Canada.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Orange potato with butthole lips. Best description of him I've ever heard.
And a terrible toupee.
No, it's technically not a toupee. It's a statistically improbable comb over. I'm not kidding. It's horrifying. But yeah, no, he's literally a comic book villain.
All right.
Okay.
So moving on into the Civil War and beyond, apparently we have two noted people that want to do a Doctor Strange movie.
Yes. So apparently Neil Gaiman and Guillermo del Toro had several discussions about the movie that they wanted to do with Gaiman writing and del Toro directing. And Gaiman had even gone so far as to discuss possible script ideas with Marvel. I don't know how far del Toro might have gotten with that, or if he just said, "Oh, that'd be cool. I want to do it."
I thought they'd been working together, Gaiman writing, del Toro directing. And I do remember when this was being talked about a few years ago, and I was like, "Oh, that would be so cool." And yeah, then nothing came of it, because I guess the movie universe went in a different direction. I don't remember if this was before or right around Iron Man.
This was back in like 2008, I think. So right after Iron Man came out, they were talking about doing it.
Yeah.
And I think probably at that time, Marvel was like, "I don't know if we want to do magic in our universe."
Yeah. This was right around the time when they were thinking of doing like a Black Widow spinoff and stuff like that. I mean, the Marvel universe has gone in a different direction since then, but it could have been really cool.
Yeah. That would be like an amazing team to do this movie. They would never pick them for it now because they don't want people with that much of their own pull, I think, in their universe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But
see,
it would have been awesome.
Here's the problem. Kevin Feige is going to get either overwhelmed with stuff or eventually he's going to retire. So they're going to have to pick some sort of successor. So yeah, at some point in time, you got to try somebody out.
Yeah. Kevin Feige is kind of a young guy, though, so he could stay in there for a while.
For as long as he feels like building up his mountain of cash.
Yeah.
He's got the reins. I mean, he's working for two companies right now. It's kind of funny. All right, so Black Panther, everybody wants to see him, and apparently we got a better look at him too, right?
Oh, yeah. So with the release of this week's Entertainment Weekly, we finally get a good look, a good stationary look at Black Panther's uniform, and I'm really excited because it looks awesome. People have been wondering, okay, how are they going to do this, considering that in the comic it's kind of a spandexy look, and there's been iterations that have it more armored and stuff like that, but he still has this like pendant looking, this necklace looking thing. And it looks cool. They got the claws and they got the pendant still, so it's still recognizably him. The mask looks pretty awesome. Like, it's kind of, like, it's supposed to be reminiscent of, like, ceremonial armor, because the Black Panther is a ceremonial position, and it's functional. So we saw, like, little glimpses of it in the trailer in action, but this is a really good look at how it looks on its own. And, oh, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that can't. I've heard there's some discussion over the character and its portrayal and stuff like that, but I need to look into what they were saying about it a little bit more before fully commenting on it. But if you haven't seen it yet, please go out, look at the EW cover, and you will see the Black Panther costume.
On the website, on Entertainment Weekly, there's also an interview with Chadwick Boseman, and he talks about the character, he talks about his experiences filming, some other people talk about the character. It's a really cool article, and they're talking a little bit about his fighting strength. There's, like, utilizing a little bit of capoeira. Just, yeah, I can't wait to see him in action.
Civil War is going to be fun across the board. The trailer was amazing. We'll talk about that in a second. But apparently, the more of the Winter Soldier background is going to be told in Civil War. So we'll get not just the character today, but his backstory as well.
Yes. So I'm very happy about this.
What he's been up to for 70 years.
Yeah. In an interview with, well, it was
during his
press. It's an interview on comicbook.com, but it's from his press tour for The Martian.
Yeah.
And they're asking him about that. And so he's saying, like, yeah, we're going to find out more about what he's been doing, what he's done. And there's this one moment that has been gifted a lot. It's been going around on Tumblr that I really love, where they say, you know, it's been hinted at that he killed Tony Stark's parents. Mm-hmm. And there's this moment where he just kind of looks at the camera. And so he's like, it looks like he's on The Office.
I miss The Office. All right, and if you want to hear more about the Captain America Civil War trailer, I would encourage you to go to Nerd Alert News. It's a new podcast on the Gunna Geek Network. Chris Farrell does it, a solo podcast, but in this particular case, he banded together a gang of
a posse
of Gunna Geek podcasters to talk about it, and one of the podcasters that was on that blab was Haley. And Haley, do you want to say anything about that Nan episode?
Yeah, it was just, I don't even remember who was there. People were there. Chris was one of them. And we talked about, I remember who's there. Kent from Art House Legends and Lobster, maybe, was the other person. Yeah, sure. That's right.
It's not like you do another podcast with them or anything.
I don't remember who I talked to. Anyways, yeah, we talked about the trailer, first impressions, 12th impressions, however many times we'd watched the trailer by then. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
And then I immediately went and recorded another podcast.
So go and check that out. That is Nerd Alert News number 9. You can find that at GunnaGeek.com. And finally, we get a little bit of Marvel 101.
Right. So a lot of people might be listening to our comic book segments that we put out each week, and they're like, man, all this Marvel stuff sounds cool, but I just don't know how to start reading all these comics. You could go back and start reading all of the comics. That's probably the best way to do it. I don't know why you chose any other
who
method.
Who would do a thing like that?
I tried. But I did. I tried. It failed.
If you don't want to do that, but you want to know a little bit more about the characters before you jump in, Marvel has started a YouTube playlist, a series of YouTube videos. They're a minute and 11 seconds long each. And
nice.
They're just real quick introductions to characters, teams, weapons, storylines, that kind of thing, just to give you the basics so you know what's going on. We've got a link to the entire playlist in our show notes, and it'll take you to their YouTube channel, and you can watch all those videos if you want.
Sounds good to me.
It's called Marvel 101.
Looking forward to it. All right, you gals ready for some feedback?
Yay!
Let's do it.
So first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody for your feedback. We really appreciate it. We've been getting a ton of feedback, and it's great, whether it's likes on Facebook, whether it's tweets back and forth with the live tweet, or news stories throughout the week, or just general tweets back and forth, or conversations through DM or whatever. Thank you very much. We don't have time to talk about all of it. We really don't. Just want to highlight a couple of things. First of all, Cajun Sean, back on November 23rd, and I bring this up because we kind of had an off podcast last week, said, Jessica, he sent us an article that said Jessica Jones made me question the point of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, I posted a personal post on my Facebook feed, and I said, I don't agree with this whatsoever. So go ahead, take a look at it, and if you want to get involved in the conversation, go ahead. But thank you very much, Sean, for pointing that out. And then Alphabet Cookie, that is on Twitter, at Defi Down Under, she was the recipient of our last giveaway. And I mailed the t-shirt off to her. Remember, it was that S.H.I.E.L.D. t-shirt with the Kree writing on it. And there was some conversation about getting her address or something like that. And she said, while I would never doubt SP SNAS's ability to find my address, I only didn't provide it because I was sleepy and complacent. So there you go. That's why I had to hound her for it. And at Mr. Paracletes tweeted us, and he asked, do you think Malik's mention of a Bones Brigade to Ward was a Crossbones reference? We discussed that a little bit during the show. We don't know fully, but it would be interesting if it was. And our vaunted listener, Andy Migna, that is at Andy Migna on Twitter, said, absolutely killing his return at Bear McCreary, in my opinion, with his A-game for the AOS soundtrack. And yes, it must be what makes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just that notch up for me this year and for the beginnings. Bear McCreary has been doing the music for it. It's like John Williams back in the 70s and the 80s. It's like anything he did was gold. Anything he does now is gold. It's great. So hopefully Bear McCreary gets there eventually. So appreciate that. Now, Andy sent me a DM, and we have to talk about it for two reasons. First of all, he said Deep Impact was, quote unquote, that other asteroid movie you had tried to remember about half a year ago. And yes, what he's referring to is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 84 was released during our off week last week. It was out, and that was one of the things that we were trying to remember between Deep Impact and
I don't even remember what we were trying to remember.
Yeah, I need to go back and listen to that, and it'd be like a time travel episode.
Right. We were talking about the one with Ben Affleck in time travel episode, and we were just trying to we were trying to remember the two asteroid movies that came out, and Deep Impact was the one we couldn't remember. We did.
Why were we trying to remember this?
You think I would remember that one? Because I went on a really bad date with that movie.
Because we were talking about Armageddon, and I was like bringing up Deep Impact for another. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So thank you very much, Andy Migna. Deep Impact, got it. Now, he wants to revise his initial Star Wars estimate prediction. And
all bets are final.
If you have not listened to Gunna Geek number 121, we had to cut off any further revisions because the preliminary sales, ticket sales, were out at 50 million. And that was at a level where we couldn't allow any more changes or justifications. So
I think I'm going to win.
That was brought up on the podcast, by the way. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, it's like, who had the most? Who was it? Yeah, that was Haley.
If I bet
they called
that
me crazy,
it's going to be literally all the money. Does that count?
Yeah, are you not familiar with what your bet was, Lauren?
No.
Okay.
I have no memory of this.
I don't.
Okay, hold on. I'll bring it up. I got it.
The only thing I remember is literally all the money. I don't remember any number other than that.
And then I think you put a real number on it. But I know I had the high end. Yes. And then I put the high end on it at 300 million. And everybody kept calling me crazy. They're like, it's not going to make that much money.
Yeah, $2 billion. Yeah. So, Lauren, in our initial podcast, your bet was $275 million. And that's back in May this year where you made that bet.
No wonder I don't remember. It's been more than 2 weeks ago.
It could have been 2 minutes ago. You wouldn't have remembered it.
Oh, that is also true.
So, anyway, so there you go. Those are the bets. Sorry, Andy, we cannot revise. But we did talk about it on Gunna Geek number 122, your original bet, because I ran into it. Well, we were talking about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 84. Yep. And for the record, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 84 is out. The rest of them that are the lost episodes, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, they will be out sometime in the next few months. Just be patient to get your Daredevil stuff. Sorry, folks. It's just the way my time is. All right.
Podcasting is hard.
It can be. We have a voicemail. Guess who it's from?
Don't know.
It's from Adam. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Adam. And wow, this week's episode was dark. I mean, almost Netflix-level dark. When you kill off a recurring character in the first scene by having her get shot in the throat in the middle of a romantic fast food dinner, wow, that was impressive. Kind of surprised they pulled the trigger on it this early, but considering where it looks like it's going for the mid-season finale, I'm not sure where else they would have fit it in. And when director Mack said that he sent Banks with Fitzsimmons to that facility, I was thinking Banks would be a traitor after all. But no, it's Magneto guy again with his gun trick, which seems to be the only thing he knows. Oh, wait, except torture implements. Never mind. And then, yeah, the whole torture stuff. I hope Ward dies at this point. I mean, good recurring villain, but yeah, there's not much darker he can go than he is now. Unless he gets possessed by whatever it is on the planet, which I think is a distinct possibility at this point, with him leading the Gate team through, which, yeah, very Stargate-like down to the costumes, and the fact that it was a ring of puddling material, and Coulson free-falling through it was pretty cool too. Though I'm surprised that Malik didn't see something there. Oh yeah, and director Mack greenlit the Secret Warriors, so we'll be seeing them in the second half of the season. Well, seeing them tomorrow, and then in, what, March when the second half of the season starts? I mean, Agent Carter is nice, but I really wish it was during the summer break instead, because they've done some pretty good cliffhangers the past couple mid-seasons for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so congratulations on the 100th episode, and can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Adam, thank you very much for the voicemail. I will say that you want Agent Carter to happen during the summer months. That might work, but I do like having the mid-winter break. What it really ends up doing, and I know as a viewer, you're like, you just want to see it, but it allows the writing staff and the production staff of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to have a significant amount of break so that they come back with better stories. So any week off is one more week where they can fool around with it to get a better product for you, because they have 8 days for each episode, and any week off is another couple of days that they can do with the stories. So from that perspective, I'm okay with them taking a mid-season hiatus. So, I mean, it could be worse. You could be watching The Sopranos or BSG or something and have a year and a half in between seasons.
Ugh, yeah. The pain.
Definitely.
Didn't watch it. Not my pain.
You watched BSG.
You watched BSG,
well,
didn't
yeah,
you?
But not The Sopranos.
Right. I didn't watch it either. But I was just not using that as an example, because it was like 2 years between seasons, I think. Anyway, thank you very much, Adam. Really appreciate it. Yes, dark episode. You brought up a lot of great points, and keep those voicemails coming next week. I can't wait to hear what you have to think about it. Okay, and finally in feedback, I want to go to YouTube. If you go to the Gonna Geek YouTube channel, you will find this blab that we are recording this podcast on. We do put the live feed up afterwards on Blab. And we had a comment on podcast number 99. Soren Fogg basically told us that in an interview, which we had not talked about, between Marissa Tankeron, Jed Wheaton, they talked about the fact that Lash had a conversation with Malik exposing all the S.H.I.E.L.D. secrets. It was implied. We didn't actually see it on camera. We talked about it before. We wondered if it actually happened or not. So Soren basically said, yep, the creators of the show said it happened. So guess what, guys? It happened. It is now canon.
Not technically canon. It's not how canon works. Because they could change that if they wanted to.
I guess, but they said it.
If it served a future story.
Yeah. For the moment, it is Word of God canon.
Yes.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for the feedback, particularly the YouTube comments. That was awesome. So keep those coming in. All right. We're going to walk this out. Join us next week as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 10, Maveth, and Jessica Jones, Season 1, Episode 1, a.k.a. Ladies' Night.
Ladies' Night.
We have a website, legendsofshield.com. It is part of the goodageek.com network. Don't forget our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. It is a toll-free line. What that means is if you can find a payphone, you can call it and it's not going to cost you a cent.
Except for like the ear syphilis you're going to get from the payphone.
Kind of wipe it off first. We have a Facebook page, Twitter page, Tumblr page, YouTube channel. Just search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will find it. Don't forget our forums on the Gunna Geek Network. That is forums.gunnageek.com. Or it is also on the Tapatalk app. Don't forget to find us on Spreaker. And apparently our Mixlr actually worked tonight, so we are on there as well. I just want to say thank you very much to all our live viewers and our live listeners. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned until after the credits, and we will open up the fourth seat to hear from you.
Thank you for everybody who gets a hold of us on Twitter, on Facebook, everything. Thank you to SP especially for taking over the live tweeting last night. I wasn't able to get home in time.
Not easy.
Thank you so much. Could not let this episode go by untweeted.
And thank you to everyone that participates in all of our contests that we've been having. It's a lot of fun for us to see what you guys come up with for our crazy little harebrained ideas. And we don't have one specifically right now, but we're going to have another one to go along with the start of Agent Carter in January. And delayed. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
But there will be more sweet swag coming.
There definitely will as we go forward into 2016. Well, it was a great episode. Stay tuned till after the credits. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you guys next week for the mid-season finale.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
Why don't I have confetti?
Does somebody have a kazoo?
What do I have? What? If you hold on, I can see if I have.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes.
Okay. Hold. Give me a second, and I can make a party outfit. Yes, I need bobby pins.
I wish I had that video recorded. That was hilarious.
Do you at least have the audio of her saying, yes, I need bobby pins?
Yeah, I know. She's just, but the tutu and everything, it's awesome. Could you guys say something again?
I am talking.
It's just really low. It's not you.
Titty sprinkles.
Computers. Say something again.
More titty sprinkles.
I'm wearing a really uncomfortable tutu and nobody can see it.
I was like, why are you wearing that?
It's like during Lord of the Rings when they made the Hobbit actors put on their feet even though they weren't going to shoot their feet. It's the exact same struggle.
It really is. I'm taking off the tutu. It's itchy.
Yep, you're on top of it and me and Lauren are on the bottom.
I'm on top.
That's what she said.
You're on the bottom.
I'm the top, and you're the bottom.
The things we remember from stupid cartoons.
That one wasn't stupid. Flashpoint Paradox was awesome. And that is the best line from anything ever.
Those of you in the chat, welcome to our 100th episode.
Woo! That's why I'm dressed like a dork.
I thought that's how you dressed all the time.
That's also true.
Especially when you go to cons and you interview really important people.
Yeah, because, you know, you only get one chance to make a first impression, so why not make it dressed as a comic book character?
Unless he gets possessed by whatever it is on the planet, which I think is a distinct possibility at this point, with him leading the gate team through, which...
By SP.
Yeah, very...
Where did SP go?
Down That's to my the train. Costumes. And the fact that it was a ring of...
He got hit by the train.
...material. And
oh, no.
Pulse and free-falling no. through it.
And that's the end of SP.
Pretty cool, too.
For the live listener, I'm sorry. Something happened and it kicked me out. I am back in, so sorry about that. Am I back? Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
I hear you.
We see you. All we right. hear you. You're back.
All right, Adam.
You exist.
Next week, we will discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 10, the mid-season finale. Mavleth.
Mavet. Mavet. I think it's a name.
I think it's the name of the planet. They.
Oh, see, I was going to say I think it's the name of the Inhuman over there.
Fitz mentioned it. Oh, so, yeah. And I was like, is that the name of the planet? Nobody told me.
Did I completely...
So, did we lose SP again?
Yes. Bye, SP.
No, Mavet.
Mavet.
Okay, so according to Cage and Sean in the chat, it's Mavet. Mavis.
Okay.
Reminds me of the Steven. It's the Steven dog.
Mavis, but with a lisp.
Yeah.
Join Steven. Us next week as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 10, Mavis.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yep.
Worked.
My kid is being an asshole and biting my feet.
Bite it back.
I thought either of mine were going to jump up on my lap as soon as I called in. So
it happens.
Cats are jerks. They do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was actually something in my mission report this time that I thought might trigger some conversation. Have any of you read S.H.I.E.L.D. issue 12?
Not yet.
No, I haven't. I'm up to 10. I haven't gotten to 12 okay. yet.
That's like 40 years away.
Yeah. So basically in this episode, all the world's superheroes are killed and it's up to Coulson's team to
Oh yeah, save yeah, yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they basically get access to all of every hero's arsenals. So I'm sure you can probably guess what Coulson took, but do you have any guesses on, and Daisy has her own stuff. So
he I'd took say- the Coulson's revenge, didn't he?
No, he took no. Cap Shield.
Yeah. Cap Shield is what I was going to say.
Okay. Right. Yes.
Any also- guesses for what the others took?
Oh, so it's the current S.H.I.E.L.D. team. That's what we're talking about, right? So May.
Yeah.
Simmons took Thor's hammer.
Nope.
And this is not the hammer.
did May take Black Widow's armbands?
No, but that would have been... I was hoping that May would get Thor's hammer.
Oh, that would have been awesome, too. Yeah. Nail Hydra, literally.
Yeah.
Best one to do it with, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Let's see. Fitz would take Iron Man's suit.
Yeah, it'd have to be it.
Not him, but one of Iron Man's, one of his hand blaster, hand repulsors was taken.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you have any more guesses, or do you want me to try showing you on the screen? And
Tell me.
Yeah, just tell me.
Tell me Simmons became Hulk.
No.
Okay, so Cap Shield.
They're in Asgardian disguises, so...
Is that her with the web shooters?
Simmons has the web shooters.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. Is that Bobby?
Fitz has the Ant-Man helmet.
Yeah, Fitz has the Ant-Man helmet, and May has the repulsor.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, Daisy has her own stuff already, so...
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
With the disguises, it was a little difficult at first, but then I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Especially since Simmons had just saved Fitz with the web shooters.
That's great. Well, so that is the end of the series, and that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will start up in January, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of Secret Warriors, and then once Agent Carter starts, there was an Agent Carter miniseries last year, like 5 or 6 issues, so I'll probably do that.
Yeah, this could be useful. It's Crossing Universes, I just picked up Arrow 2.5, so I'm finding out all about what's going on behind the scenes there, so I assume the same stuff is done with Agent Carter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this doesn't tie into the show. It ties into the comics stuff.
Okay.
And this one was actually referenced in the Agent Carter one-shot a couple months ago.
Oh, nice.
Since it was written by the same people.
Sweet. Is there anything else you need to say about the episode or Jessica Jones or anything like that?
Well, just one little not really spoiler for Arrow. Thea crossed streams.
I saw that. I just saw that on Tumblr, like right now.
Yeah.
I have not had a chance to watch any of it.
No spoilers. I'm not going to say anything else about that.
Yeah, but. No spoilers, but I literally just saw that right now on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So, yeah, congratulations again on the 100th episode.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been a joy. It's been a ride.
It's funny you said that yesterday was technically our 100th. We haven't released 100, though, because we've got all those ones.
Well, actually, technically we have because they're on the live stream. They're on the YouTube channel. So they're there.
You are technically correct, sir.
Yes.
The best kind of correct.
All right. Well, if people want to find you that don't know you that are watching this later on Blabber YouTube, how can they find you?
I'm on Twitter, StarSaber_222, and on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.
A podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network.
Woo!
Yeah. And I just sent the little pre-roll again, so hopefully this one will work out.
I have forwarded on to Steven, and I await with bated breath on how he does that, because he hasn't given the pre-roll, the film stuff to anybody, so he's in charge of that.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Adam. Appreciate it.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Also, S.H.I.E.L.D. Maiden!
Yay, S.H.I.E.L.D. Maiden! Special for 100.
Yes. Yay. There was also a 2-2, but you couldn't see it and it was itchy, so why bother?
All right. Well, ladies, congratulations on 100. Thank you for all your hard work and effort over the past couple of years, and we'll see how long it goes.
Thank you. This has been fantastic.
Lots of fun.
It's been a fun ride. Never expected to get this good. When I took over the podcast, I'm like, this will last like another season maybe because it's ABC, but it's not going to go anywhere. Yeah, wrong.
This has seriously been just so much fun.
It has been. Spawned our own podcast now too with Longbox Edition. That's kind of cool.